Good morning, everyone. What a powerful time of worship. Hear the rocks cry out, every heart now, sing to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I just want to welcome every single person who has joined us, has tuned in for the very first time. Welcome to Pray Center Church Online. My name is Ruth, and I'm excited to be preaching the word today to you all. If you have your Bibles ready, please make sure that you're ready to turn with me to the book of James, which is what we are studying right now in our new series. We are in week two. In fact, last week, Pastor Baram delivered a powerful message about persevering in hard times. And from the opening verses alone, we see that this letter is very direct and it's very practical. After giving a brief greeting, James just simply gets straight into giving advice about how to respond to trials. You see, James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem during the first century. Now, life was particularly hard for Jewish Christians in Jerusalem during that time. These Jews who had chosen to follow Jesus were considered heretics or blasphemers, as they would be known in those times. They were ostracized from society, and if they were poor, they were cut off from any support by the temple. You see, things were so bad for this group of Jesus followers in Jerusalem that the apostle Paul would need to collect money from Gentile Christians during his missionary trips to take back to them in Jerusalem. And James was responsible for leading these believers for about 30 years. Therefore, it would be foolish for us to ignore what James has to say on the issue of trials. His advice applies to all of us as Christians because we are not immune from suffering in this fallen world. And it is particularly important given the current circumstances that we are all in at the moment. James challenges us to think about the trials we are facing in light of what God is doing in us through them. And if any of us lacks the perspective of what God is doing in us, we need to lean in and ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God to give us the eyes to see the circumstances the way He sees it. If you missed last week's message, you can find it on our YouTube channel. Today, we will be looking at the second half of James chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. And it reads this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away at once, forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We believe that your mercies for us today are new. And we stand here in faith, expectant, God, to receive from you, to receive your grace that will sustain us for today. Lord, we ask that you would translate your word to us, that you would speak to us. As we come to your word, let it read us, God. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You see, I've developed a particularly bad habit of half listening sometimes. And when I'm in a conversation, particularly with friends or with family, often in a casual setting. Now, Edwin frequently tells me off for doing other things on my phone, like checking messages or surfing the internet while he's speaking to me, and rightly so. But when I was in labor, about to give birth to Levi, my first child, despite being in intense pain, I was listening to every word the midwife was saying. Now, I won't get into details for your sake, but every mother who has given birth this way would understand how important it is to pay attention and to follow what the midwife's instructions are when we're pushing our baby out. You see, just before, James advises us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And if we trace back in verse 18, which we covered last week, he says, God who chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. You see, what we covered last week was the birth of sins and death. It came as a result of us listening to our evil desires. But God has chosen to give us new birth through the word of truth, through his word. The same God who created the universe by his words brings new spiritual life to his people by the same means. I'm not exaggerating when I say that God's word is a matter of life and death, both physically and spiritually. You see, King David, he had a fair share of hardship in his life. And he says this about God's word in Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11. And I'm reading from the NLT version. He says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, but a great reward for those who obey them." You see, fundamental to what we know about God is that he speaks and he relates to us through his word. Therefore, every time we open the Bible, it's important that we listen properly to what God has to say. If we look back in what we read before in James 19, he says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the planted word, which is able to save your souls." You see, during times of suffering and pain, we can be much slower to listen and quicker to speak. We may be so consumed by what we are going through that it's likely all we want to talk about. We tend to listen less to what others are saying, and often our emotions and our thoughts drowns out everything else. James also relates this tendency to anger. He is referring to the kind of anger where we lose our temper. I mean, think about the last time you lost your temper. What caused it? You know, particularly in lockdown, I'm sure tensions are high. And when tensions are high, we tend to be slower to listen. And we can easily be angry at the wrong things and in the wrong way. You see, this is why the advice to be slow to speak, but quick to listen and slow to anger is particularly wise when we are going through hardship. And it's particularly wise as we are going through lockdown. There is a way we can flourish through our trials. There is a way we can flourish in this lockdown, church. But it requires us to be humble listeners. In the midst of trials, James is challenging us to be listeners first, particularly in our relationship with God. Because what we need most is the wisdom that only God can give. And that wisdom is found in His Word. But you see, sadly, many Christians miss out on God's wisdom because they interpret the Bible as saying what they want it to say, putting themselves over the text rather than living under the Word of God. You know, every year the Oxford Dictionary, it selects a word or an expression that has attracted a great deal of interest during that year to date. And back in 2016, which is actually at the time of the US election, the word of the year was post-truth. Now, this phrase, it describes a general characteristic of our age. A post-truth culture elevates preferences and feelings above facts and truth. A British newspaper commentator, he was commenting on the US election and he said the following: "The truth has become so devalued that what was once the gold standard of political debate is a worthless currency." You see, in a post-truth culture, we would rather have our preferences and our feelings dictate what is right and what is wrong instead of following what is true. We have confused freedom with autonomy. But in reality, the only way of freedom is to follow the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And He said, "If you abide in My word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Autonomy and freedom are not the same thing. It is, in fact, truth that leads to freedom. As we live by God's word, we experience true freedom and life. Autonomy does not lead to freedom. In fact, it leads to slavery. And we see this right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. You don't have to open this with me, but we see this in Genesis 3 at the account of the Garden of Eden. You see, when the serpent comes to Adam and Eve, it deliberately misquotes the word of God. And then Eve misquotes the word of God back. And she says in verse 3, "But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" You see, God didn't actually say, "Neither shall you touch it." And so in that moment, the enemy knew he had them because Eve had added to the word of God. And so the enemy responded with a lie, with a deception. And he said, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" You know, when the enemy said that, that was when the fruit became attractive to Eve. Adam and Eve's purpose was to be in relationship with God, but their preference was to be God. And the moment they lost sight of the truth and they followed their preference to be autonomous from God, that is when they became enslaved to sin and death. And like Adam and Eve, we have strayed from our relationship with God by rejecting His authority. At the age of 14, David Bennett came out to his parents. And as a young gay man, he saw Christianity as an enemy to freedom for LGBTQI plus people. His early experiences with prejudice and homophobia led him to become a gay activist. But then he encountered Jesus and his life changed forever. And he's actually currently pursuing a PhD in theology at the University of Oxford. In his book, A War of Loves, David is refreshingly honest about the challenges and the joys that he faces in following Jesus as a gay man. And he shared about a time that the Holy Spirit convicted him to trust God's authoritative words and how this sent him on a deeper journey of exploring the Bible, especially when what the Bible had said about sexuality and holiness. And I wanted to read a couple of lines from his book. And this is what he says. Besides studying the context and using reason as I read God's word, there was also a relationship aspect. I needed to have a healthy respect, a fear of the Lord. That relationship would put God's view above my own. This fear isn't a cowardly, trembling thing. It doesn't come from a fear of punishment or the understanding that God is cruel. It is simply the full acknowledgement that He is Lord and the only Lord, and we are not. This fear is a sign that we are living in real, costly grace, not in cheap grace that requires no sacrifice and never allows God's word to challenge us or to change us. And I love this, what he says here. If I don't have the fear of the Lord, my love isn't real. I really recommend that you would read this book. And I find it really full of wisdom from his particular knowledge and experience. But here he makes it clear that the right way to relate to God's word is to listen properly, to humbly accept it, and to obey it. We need to submit to God, not our preferences or our feelings, particularly when we're going through hard times. We need to come to the Word of God ready to listen and to receive from Him, knowing that His thoughts are higher, His ways are better than our ways. How are you responding to God's truth? Last week we covered verse 8, and I just wanted to take us back there a little bit. In verse 8, James says that we are not to be double-minded when we are asking God for wisdom. You see, a person who trusts God's wisdom will listen to His word and will obey it. They will not look over their shoulder to see if anyone has anything better to offer. They will not lean on their own understanding or any other wisdom to get through their trials. But a person who has split loyalties, they've got one foot in the kingdom and they've got one on the other in the world, they're going to be unstable, just like James said, and they will end up compromising with sin. As we navigate life in this pandemic, We may be tempted to compromise with sin in different areas of our lives, but we cannot expect to escape temptation without God's word. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to fight temptation with a profound knowledge of the Bible in mind and in heart, we would be foolish to think that we could fight temptation any other way. Our hearts are deceitful. That's what the Bible says. Our emotions, they cannot be trusted. We must cling to the truth, and the truth of God has been revealed through his word. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." If we claim to love and follow Jesus, we need to humbly accept his words and live according to them. And in doing so, James says in verse 21 that we will rid ourselves of sin. He then continues on in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away at once, forgets what he's like. But the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." You know what James is saying here? He's saying that you are deceiving yourself if you think you are listening to God's word, but you're not doing what it says. A couple of years ago, I was invited to speak at a church camp in Sydney. And I remember the first night I was feeling particularly nervous. And so just before I had to get on stage and speak, I went to the bathroom. But I made sure that my time there was brief. And I was so concerned about going back to the conference room that I simply just washed my hands and I didn't take a proper look at myself in the mirror. And I just kind of ran off back to the conference room. And of course, after I had spoken, one of the girls who was there came to me and she let me know graciously that my zip had been undone the whole time I was speaking. Imagine the embarrassment I was feeling. It was literally like the worst nightmare for a young adult's camp. The first time you would ever meet them, you're speaking in front of them and your zip is undone. So you can imagine how embarrassed I felt. And I was so embarrassed that I even messaged our life group leaders and I said, "Guys, this is how my first night went, but thank you for praying for me." You see, the function of a mirror, it's to show us a problem, right? So that we can sort it out straight away. And just like James' illustration, it would be foolish to take a look at yourself in the mirror, realize that you need to fix something, but then ignore it and walk away not fixing it. There would be no point, therefore, for looking in the mirror in the first place. You see, God's word is to have the same kind of effect on us, just like a mirror. What matters is what we do after we have seen what it shows us. Like a mirror, God's word shows us what we are really like. It reads us as we read it. Often in times of suffering, our minds can be so preoccupied by what's going on around us, by our circumstances, that when we open the Bible, we're not really paying attention to what God is saying and what it has to say about us. Just like when my mind was so preoccupied about returning back to the conference room, I didn't take a proper look in the mirror to make sure that I would put my zip back up. I wasn't paying attention. And often, that's how we approach the Word of God, especially when things are not going well in our lives. But James reminds us, be slow to listen. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." You see, God is pure. God is righteous. He is holy. He is perfect. Now, these are not the words that I would use to describe myself. These are especially not the words that Edwin would use to describe me. Therefore, every time I come to his word, I should be expected to be confronted, to be challenged, to be convicted, and to be changed. The question is, are you listening? Are you expecting that when you come to the word of God? For some of us, there may be an area of outright disobedience or an area of delayed obedience. It's an area of life where we have been putting off God's word. We know what it says, but we kind of don't want to know. Perhaps God's word has been saying to you, turn from gossip. Turn from pornography. Guard your purity before marriage. Take care of the poor. Take care of that neighbor. Take care of the manager that you don't particularly like. Be reconciled to your spouse. If Jesus is putting his finger on something in your life that you are holding back from God, now, today is the day to respond. One of the most dangerous things we can do in the Christian life is to delay obedience. The longer you take to do what you know Jesus is calling you to do, often the harder it becomes. You see, there's a place in the Gospel of John where the disciples are urging Jesus to eat something. And Jesus says this to them, which would have caught them off guard. "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." John 4, verse 34. You see, some of us are spiritually starving. We may have been following Jesus for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but at this point we are spiritually starving because we have settled on simply hearing the word of God but not doing what it says. Obedience can be costly. It requires sacrifice. David Bennett says, it's not cheap grace, it's costly grace. But obedience proves that we trust God's wisdom. It proves that our faith is in God and therefore his word. And James says, we will be blessed for doing it. Even though God's word will often go against our feelings, they're going to go against our preferences. Sometimes we don't like what the word of God says. But we must hold on to what is true. And remember that God is good and he is love. If a command doesn't feel loving, it's not because God is not loving. He is love. It is because our knowledge of love is limited. Every command God gives us is because he loves us. And we must not let our preferences and our feelings hinder us from walking in true freedom, from walking in the blessing that God wants for us. James' words sound familiar to Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, Jesus says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock, and he fell, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it will not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You see, the rock is solid. Therefore, anyone who built a house on a rock, the house is configured to the foundation. It's configured to the rock. The rock shapes you. You, therefore, cannot be moved. On the other hand, sand is malleable and it can be moved and molded and shaped. It could be one thing one day and another the other. And James warns us that a double-minded person will be unstable. But a person who stands firm when trials come has built their lives on the word of God, has been shaped by God's word. The strongest foundation is God's love for us. Not our love for God, not our love for other things, but God's love for us. We may face a lot of disappointments in this life and even in this season, but one thing is for sure. Jesus will never fail us, and his word will not return to him void. It will not return to him empty. Therefore, we can be faithful in times of hardship because God remains faithful. And the proof that we are confident in his love for us, the proof that we are anchored on the rock, is our obedience. If we choose to listen and accept and obey God's word in whatever hardship we are facing, we're going to be transformed through this experience. This lockdown is going to make us better. And we're going to look a little bit more like Jesus when we come out of it. Small steps of obedience will lead to transformation. Who is calling the shots in your life? Whose voice are you listening to? Are you putting your preferences and your feelings above the word of God? Are you opening up your heart to receive his wisdom, to let him guide you through these times? Who is it that you are giving power and authority to? You see, only Jesus' voice gives true life. It's the same voice that spoke new life into being given. It's the same voice that said sins will be forgiven. It's the same voice that said the grave will be empty. And it's so powerful that it'll transform you, it'll renew you, it will recreate you, and it'll reshape you. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If this is your first time that you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, today is the day. And I want to encourage you to respond to the offer that we have to pray for you. And we have a virtual connect room even after this. And we can pray for you and take you to the next steps. You need the voice of your Creator to guide you through these times. And he is saying, those who know me will know my voice. He is calling you into relationship with him. If today is also the day that you decide that you're not going to delay obeying the word of God, then reach out to a life group leader. Let them pray with you and for you. Walk together with brothers and sisters. We can still do that in lockdown. And let us walk through these trials, this time of lockdown, and be better for it after. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.